I'm speaking today on the subject, Why Men Miss Heaven. And we're going to look at Job chapter 14, verse 14 for our text. Job asked this question, If a man die, shall he live again? Now, Job opens the 14th chapter talking about death and the shortness of life. He says, Man that is born of a woman is of few days and full of trouble. He cometh forth like a flower, blooms for a while, and then he's cut down and remembered no more. Life is like a fleeting shadow, frail and fragile. The apostle wrote, It is appointed unto men once to die, and after that the judgment. So death comes to all men. Death is sure. Death is certain. Life is brief. Now then, in verse 5 of this chapter, Job says, Man's days on earth are determined. The number of his months are with God. God has appointed his bounds he cannot pass. Now, our lives, death is certain, death is sure. But while we're living on this earth, our lives are not in the hands of blind fate, as some people believe. Our lives are not in the hands of blind chance, but the living God who gave us life, and God said, I kill and I make alive. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Before thou camest forth from the womb, I set thee apart. The living God who gave life also determines the length of life and the day of death. Now, death is certain. Death is sure. But God determines the length of life, and God determines the day of death. And the psalmist wrote concerning our day of death, the instrument of death is already prepared. Now, the question, if a man die, shall he live again? Now, according to the word of God, man shall be resurrected, some to the resurrection of glory, and some to the resurrection of damnation, but all shall be raised. Listen to these scriptures. First of all, in Ecclesiastes 12, verse 7, the dust shall return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return to God who gave it. In John 14, verse 1, our Lord said, Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, and I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And then our Lord said in John 11, 25, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And again he said, Because I live, you shall live. And then in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 1, Paul wrote, We know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle, this frail tent, were dissolved, we have a building, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. God's word tells us that though man die and is buried, and the body goes back to the dust as it was, yet man shall live again. The soul returns to God who gave it, and one day at the return of Christ, the body also shall live. And men for centuries have sung of the hope of heaven. When I can read my title clear to mansions in the sky, I'll bid farewell to every tear and I'll wipe my weeping eye. There's a land that is fairer than day, and by faith we can see it afar. And our Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there. Now, if death is so sure, and life is so short, if eternity is so long, and it is, if heaven is so blessed, and if hell is so terrible, why do men miss heaven? Why don't men make this the very goal of their existence, the very object of their being, the very goal of their affections, to gain this glory, to gain this blessing, to gain these benefits of God's love? Why do men miss heaven? I'm going to give you seven reasons. And I want you to take your Bibles and follow along with me. I'm going to give you seven clear reasons Why men miss heaven. Why some of you are going to miss heaven. First of all, men miss heaven. Listen to me. Men miss heaven because they love this present world and cannot part with it. That's the first reason. They love this present world and cannot part with it. Demas was a dear friend and companion of the Apostle Paul. They went to places together. They preached together. They were friends. Paul mentioned Demas in his writings in the epistle. But finally, Paul wrote in 2 Timothy 4:10, Demas hath forsaken me. Demas hath forsaken thee, Paul? That's right. Demas hath forsaken me. Forsaken the gospel? That's right. Forsaken the way of life? That's right. Forsaken Christ? That's right. Why in heaven's name? Listen. Having loved this present world. That's why. Demas loved this present world and couldn't part with it. Our Lord said in John 3:19, this is condemnation. Light is come into this world, but men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. When John the Baptist preached, when he preached as the forerunner of Christ, announcing the coming of the Redeemer, there was a king who went out to hear him by the name of Herod. Herod heard John. He admired John, and he did many things. But John pointed to his major problem. He had stolen his brother Philip's wife. He divorced his own wife and stolen Philip's wife and was then living with her. Her name was Herodias. And John said to Herod, it is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. You're going to have to give her up. And Herod, though he admired John, though he appreciated him, though he was willing to do many things, would not part with Herodias, and rather than give her up, he had John beheaded. In Matthew chapter 19, verse 22, there was a rich young ruler who came to our Lord and asked what he must do to inherit eternal life. He was interested in heaven. He was interested in living always. He was interested in the glories of the great beyond. And he asked Christ, what shall I do? And Christ said, sell what you have and give it to the poor. And the scripture says, when he heard this, he turned and walked away, for he had many possessions. Rather than part with his material possessions, he was willing to walk away from the Son of God. But my friends, no man can serve two masters. You cannot serve God and mammon. And I believe there are plenty of men and women today who are confronted with the person of Christ, and they may admire his philosophy, his doctrine, his teachings, his word. They are presented with the claims of Christ, and they may admire his grace and his mercy, and presented with the glory of Christ, and they may look with favor upon eternal life. But men and women who cannot receive it, who must refuse it, because they love this present world, and they love its attachments, and they love it more than they love the Son of God. Like Esau, he despised his birthright and traded it for a mess of pottage. And that's what men and women are doing today. They love this present world, and they will not part with it. And John said, if any man love the world, the love of God is not in him. Lord, lead me to seek thee, and seeking thee to find thee, and finding thee to love thee, and loving thee to serve thee. All the people of God, they love comfort, they love entertainment, they love luxuries, they love Christ more. They love their families, they love their country, they love their home, they love their job, they love Christ more. And when it comes to parting with these things, they're willing to part with them for Christ's sake. Turn your eyes on Jesus and look full into his wonderful face, and then, and only then, will the things of this world grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and his grace. It depends on who you love the most. That's it. And men and women miss heaven because they will not part with this world. They love this present world. Now the second reason. Men and women miss heaven because Satan blinds them. It says in 2 Corinthians 4, listen to this scripture, 2 Corinthians 4, 3 and 4. If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them who are lost, in whom the god of this world, that's Satan, hath blinded their minds, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine unto them, and they should be saved. Men are blind, spiritually blind. They're not naturally blind, they're spiritually blind. They're blind to the nature of sin. Paul said, Paul was a religious man, an educated man. In fact, one of the rulers said, you've read so much, you've lost your mind. Much learning hath made you mad. He was a respected man, but he said this, listen, I had not known sin, except the law said, thou shalt not covet. In other words, Paul said, though I was religious, though I was trained in theology, though I was educated, though I was a respectable person, I didn't know what sin was. Now, you don't know what sin is as long as you confine sin to outward acts alone. Sin has to do with nature, attitude, motive, thoughts, imagination. Sin has to do with hatred and lust and envy and jealousy and malice and impatience and greed and covetousness and all of these things that go on in the heart. Christ said, you've heard it said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill. Now I say unto you, this is the interpretation of the law. This is the nature of sin. To hate your brother is to be guilty already of murder. You're already a murderer if you hate someone. He said, you've heard it said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. I say unto you, to lust in your heart is to be guilty already. You've heard it said by them of old, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. I say unto you, if a man smites you on one cheek, turn the other. You've heard it said by them of old time, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Bless and despise not. Pray for them which despitefully use you. The law of God reaches the heart, and men are blinded to the nature of sin. And they go about comparing themselves with other people. Listen to the Pharisee in the temple. Why, he said, Lord, I thank you. I'm not like other men. No, you're not like God either. But I'm not like other men. I'm not like this publican. I'm not like this person. I'm not like this person. When you're comparing yourselves with others, you're comparing yourself a lump of coal with another lump of coal. Compare yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll tell you something else. Men are blind to the holiness of God. Isaiah said, I saw the Lord, and I realized that I was a man of unclean lips dwelling among a people of unclean lips. Men are blind to the holiness of God. Who shall stand in his presence? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart. The book of Colossians chapter 1 says we must be unrebukable, unreprovable, unblameable, perfect in God's sight. And we're not that way. And there's no way in the flesh we can be that way. And we're blind to sin's nature and to God's holiness. Consequently, we're blind to the way that God saves sinners. Not by works, but by the blood of Christ that cleanseth us from all sin. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 says this, for by grace are you saved, unmerited favor, unearned mercy, unsought mercy. For by grace are you saved through faith. Not through works, through faith. And that not of yourself. It's the gift of God. Then men are blind to the sufficiency of Christ. We're complete in him. It is not Christ made a payment, and then we add to his payment. It's not Jesus Christ started us off, and we walk the rest of the way by ourselves. In salvation, in the redemption of a man's soul, Jesus Christ and him crucified, Jesus Christ and him buried and resurrected, Jesus Christ and him enthroned at God's right hand interceding, Jesus Christ and him coming again is the Alpha and Omega. That's the beginning and the end of salvation. The author and the finisher. And I am complete, not when I fulfill certain requirements. I am complete, not when I've done all that I can do. I am complete, not when I do my best. I am complete in Christ. In Christ, I am complete. Men are blind to that. And men miss heaven because they're blind to the nature of sin. How many people will admit, I'm a great sinner. I'm the chief of sinners. God be merciful to me, the sinner. Can you find one? One old writer said, a sinner is a sacred thing. The Holy Ghost hath made him so. How many people understand the holiness of God? No. God says, you thought I was altogether such a one as yourself. How many of us can see God in his immaculate, immutable, unchangeable holiness, and ourselves in our uncleanness? How many have seen God in his holiness, and us in our sin, and the nation in its uncleanness, and have fled to Calvary's mountain and said, the dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his day, and there may I, though vile as he, wash all my sins away. Men miss heaven because they're blind. They're blind to sin. They're blind to the gospel. They're blind to the sufficiency of Christ. And they've tried to substitute for the way of life everything in the world but the blood of Christ. Notice the third thing. Men miss heaven because they refuse God's counsel and God's call. Just refuse it. Listen to what God says. Proverbs 1. Verse 24 and 25. Turn over there. Proverbs 1, 24 and 25. God says this, you have set at naught my counsel. I have called, and you refused. I stretched out my hand, and no man regarded. That's right. We've turned our back on the Word of God. God's Word says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And we say, well, we be not sinners. God's Word says, kiss the Son, lest he be angry. And we cry, why, we won't have this man reign over us. God's Word says that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father, and our voices are lifted up in hatred. Crucify him. Give us Barabbas. God's Word says the wages of sin is death, and Satan whispers in our ear and says, you shall surely not die. God's Word says there is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And the false prophet comes by and says, peace, peace. And there is no peace. God in grace and mercy calls us to repentance. God in grace and mercy calls us to faith. He says, come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I'll give you rest, but you will not come, that you might have life. I've called, and you refused. I stretched out my hand, and no man regarded. How many will say, just as I am, without one plea? But that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. I come. Men miss heaven because they will not hear God's call and respond to God's outstretched offer, God's outstretched hand, God's offer of mercy. Now, the fourth reason. Men miss heaven because they have a false view of God's mercy. Now, this is very important right here. This is a missing note in present-day preaching. People come and say, well, why did Christ live on this earth and go through this toil and agony and thirst and hunger and hatred and all these things? Why was he born and worked in the carpenter's shop, born in such a lowly state and lowly condition? Why was he so mistreated and sent to Calvary's cross to die? There's a reason. There's a reason. Men miss heaven because they have a false view of God's mercy. Now listen, Deuteronomy 29:19. And it shall come to pass, when he hears the words of this curse, when men hear the words of this curse, that is, God is angry with the wicked, the soul that sinneth, it shall surely die. I will in no wise clear the guilt. When he hears that word, he says, as he blesses himself in his own heart, I will have peace. Though I walk in the imagination of my own heart, I will have peace. It shall not come nigh unto me. I will have peace. My friend, listen to me. God Almighty not only will punish sin, God must punish sin. God must punish sin. The Scripture says, the soul that sinneth, it shall surely die. The Scripture says, the wages of sin is death. God must punish sin if he's going to remain God and just and holy and righteous. Now, God is merciful, but God is holy. God is love, but God is truth. God is grace, but God Almighty is righteousness. And in order to save you and me and forgive our sins, God must do it in a way that is in keeping with his love and his truth, that is in keeping with his mercy and his holiness. that is in keeping with His grace and His righteousness. God can't be love and mercy at the expense of holiness and righteousness. Well, how's this going to be done? I'll tell you how. If you go to Calvary's cross, there you'll see hanging on that cross not only the love of God, but the justice of God. Jesus Christ took our sins and paid for them. And therefore, God can now, because Christ died for our sins, be just and justify us. Go to Calvary's cross, and you see not only the mercy of God in sending His Son, but you see the righteousness of God in inflicting upon Him the just recompense of our reward. And now, I'm free because the debt's been paid. God just didn't overlook it and put it aside and pretend it didn't exist. Christ paid for it. In Psalms 85:10, here's a verse of Scripture that all of us ought to commit to memory. In Psalms 85:10, it says, "Mercy and truth." Now, those are opposites. Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Now, I want to go to that place where God's mercy met God's truth, and they were satisfied, both of them. I want to go to that place where God's peace toward sinners and God's righteous indignation and wrath against our guilt met together and kissed each other in reconciliation. You know where that was? Well, it wasn't in a baptismal pool. And it wasn't at an altar at the front of the church. And it wasn't in a preacher's hand. And it wasn't in a decision you made. It was at Calvary. That's where mercy and truth met together, righteousness and peace kissed each other. That's where the love of God was honored and the law of God was honored. And that's where the mercy of God was honored, and that's where the righteousness of God was honored. But men have a wrong view of God's mercy. They think, well, God's just sitting up there in heaven, and if I say, now, Lord, I'm sorry, forgive my sin, well, I guess we will just forget it. No, you don't either. Not a holy God. That sin's got to be punished. You've got to pay for it, or somebody's got to pay for it in your place. Now, the next reason why men miss heaven is because they lean on their own righteousness. Paul said they're going about to establish their own righteousness and won't submit to the righteousness of God. Now, in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. I don't care how holy you are and how pious you are and how moral you are and how clean you are. In your flesh, there's no good thing. And in the flesh, no man can please God. And your righteousnesses are filthy rags. And you can dress it up in religion, ceremonialism, legalism, ritualism, and all the other isms, but it'll still be fallen flesh in God's sight. You need a perfect righteousness. And I'll tell you, the only place you can get that's in Christ. For Paul said, "Oh, that I may win Christ and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, filthy rags, but that which is of God through the faith of Jesus Christ." If you lean on your works, you'll perish. If you lean on Christ, you'll live. And too many people right now, you say, "Are you going to heaven?" "Yes, I am." "How do you know?" "Well, I'm doing the best I can." That's not good enough. How good does a man have to be to go to heaven? Perfect. How holy does a man have to be to go to heaven? As holy as God. You say, "Well, nobody's going to make it." Right, my friend. Christ is holy because He is God. I'll make it in Him, wrapped and robed in His righteousness, covered with His blood, but not in myself. Not by works of righteousness which we've done, but according to His mercy hath He saved us. Now, the sixth reason why men miss heaven is because they establish a false refuge. It says in Isaiah 28, "We've made a covenant with death. We're not afraid to die. We're in agreement with hell. We think there ought to be a hell. When the wrath of God shall come through, it won't touch us. We have a refuge." It's a refuge of lies, God said. "We have a hiding place." It's a hiding place of falsehood, God said. Now, my friend, good works is a false refuge. For the Scripture says, "Not by works of righteousness, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified." Church membership's a false refuge. It wouldn't protect Judas. It wouldn't protect Ananias and Sapphira. It wouldn't protect Simon Magus. It wouldn't protect Demas. And it won't protect you. And baptism is a false foundation. It's a false refuge, whether you receive it as a child or an adult. The only refuge suitable in which you can hide is Christ the Lord. is Christ the Lord. In Christ, you are pure, perfect, and holy. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and His righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. Now, last of all, men miss heaven because of unbelief. It all boils down to this basic fact. They could not enter in, Paul wrote in Hebrews, because of unbelief. Unbelief. He that believeth on the Son of God hath eternal life. He that believeth not God shall never see life. Do you believe? Do you believe Christ is the Son of God, that He died for sinners like you and me, that He was buried and rose again, that He's at the right hand of God interceding for us? Will you receive Him and trust Him and commit your life to Him? Will you submit to Him? Will you lean upon Him? In Him you have life. Now, these messages are available at a small cost on cassette tapes. If you'd like to have them, you'll receive the address from the announcer. Until next week at the same time, I bid you a very pleasant good day.